Good evening. This is the Voice of America. Welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. We are coming to you live from Washington. I'm Douglas Impuga, and this evening we'll talk about the ongoing coronavirus pandemic and whether Africa is prepared to contain the virus. And with us tonight is my colleague, Vincent Macori, Managing Editor, VOA's Africa 54.
Thank you. Welcome
to the show, Vincent.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
You're very much welcome. And joining us from Durban, South Africa, is our regular panelist, Suleiman Mugula. He's an independent political analyst. Good evening, Suleiman.
Good evening, Douglas. I'm a driver here.
How are you doing?
Very fine. Thank you very much for inviting me.
You're very much welcome. Well, gentlemen, as I said, our topic tonight, looking at the coronavirus. The coronavirus this week continued to sow havoc, sweeping travel bans accelerated around the globe, slowing the engines of commerce, all in try and stem the unfolding pandemic, with coronavirus hitting both China's economy and those of its many client African states, weakened further by the impact of the virus. So what's the way forward? First of all, let me start here in the studio, Vincent. It seems to be a big problem.
It is a big problem. To begin with, we have to be grateful that this time around, a major pandemic is not associated with Africa.
Yes.
And therefore, at least we do not have to suffer the stigma, at least at the moment. Mm. But it is a time, a sobering time, in that we are having the benefit of witnessing what's going on in the rest of the world. And therefore, it is an opportunity to learn and to prepare for any eventuality. First, we have to acknowledge that we have weaker health system. We lack certain infrastructure that is necessary to deal with such a pandemic that is spreading like wildfire. Mm-hmm. So if countries that have very advanced health systems, the same countries where our political elite go to get treatment, you know, Asia, European countries, America, these countries are now literally wobbling as they struggle to try and contain this pandemic. What would happen if for some reason, God forbid, this thing hits the continent and starts to spread? Mm-hmm. Because remember, there would be nowhere to run to. This is one of those situations where you have to deal with it at home. Mm-hmm. And so the rate at which it's spreading in the rest of the world, it should be a sobering thing for the African continent in preparing the countries for any eventuality and be ready to handle the situation at home. This is a time to realize that, especially for the political elite, you cannot sit tight and pretty because you have the options of going abroad for treatment. This disease does not give you that option. You have to deal with the situation back at home where you are. So are we ready?
I see. Suleiman, what do you think? Given that it's been since December, we are now in mid-March, are the African leaders on the continent ready?
For the continent, you can say on the surface they look to be alert, whether they are prepared, whether there is a political will, it is still debatable. I can only give the opinion for the South African where I am. I can tell you, I can assure the world that South Africa is ready in all aspects. So far, we have got 17 cases, but there is no panic. We are masked down a lot. We have got the
infrastructure. Suleiman, your line is not very clear.
Yes,
I'm going to have to call you back, okay? Let me call you back to get levels clear. So
yes.
I guess you're saying...
South Africa, indeed. South Africa so far has done a good job for the cases that they have. But at the same time, you have to realize that South Africa, across the continent of Africa, is perhaps the only country that has a very advanced health system. Mm-hmm. I mean, so many of our people, when they have reached a point where they cannot get treatment, say in Kenya or Tanzania or Uganda, they would either go to South Africa or go to India. Those who have a lot of means, a lot of money, then they will proceed to Britain or some other European countries. So South Africa is, of course, is a better place as compared to many countries. Now, this is not to say that other African countries could not contain. I mean, look at Ebola. I think the DRC has done a fantastic job, of course, with the help of like a World Health Organization and other international aid agencies like Doctors Without Borders. But here we're talking about a very dicey situation where the treatment of this disease requires it requires special treatment. It's not a normal hospital ward. It's actually intensive care unit, ventilators. And then the spread is very is so fast, you know, the rate at which it spreads even before people realize that you have it is so fast that you can imagine a scenario where it could spread from coast to coast, you know, or from one part of the country to the other border. And then in between here now, would we have the means? The reason why I'm saying this, are we going to rely on the WHO, the Doctors Without Borders? If this pandemic spreads globally like this, even this international organization will be stretched beyond their capacity. So we have to think of what do we have. So for me, I think immediately what governments should be doing is to do everything they can to protect the citizens from infections. Because what we've seen from these countries is that once it begins,
it will be a problem.
It's like wildfire.
Yeah.
So what measures are we taking? Remember, the preventive measures are, for example, cleaning, hygiene methods. So you need plenty of water. You need plenty of soap. You need sanitizers. Question is, where do we have these soaps in the marketplaces? Do we have enough soaps and water in the market areas where thousands across the continent, millions of people mingle each day in order to make a living? So many of the people are employed in the private sector, in the informal sector, where they have to haggle and jostle as they try to make a living. So I'm curious to know how countries are preparing, or rather what measures are being taken to prevent, in the first place, any possible infection.
I see. Suleiman, I think you're back now.
Yes, I'm back.
Yes, I think you're now a bit clear. Yes, you go ahead first with your thought, and then you see South Africa, as Vincent has been saying, is a step ahead among the rest of the African nations. But you go ahead with your point.
Yes, I was saying that many African countries actually have been relying on South Africa for their health services, especially for the elite. Many of them come there because we have got world class facilities and we have got world class professionals. So even in this connection, you find that we are fully alert. The efforts of preparedness and the containment are still ahead from the President's office together with the South African Defense Force. We have got an interministerial council which is coordinating all the efforts. We have got screening on all entrances, airports, and all borders. We have got facilities which have been put aside in all the provinces, which are ready in case there is any increase in the infection. And the leadership, both political, cultural, at national and provincial levels, they are mobilizing the population to get them aware of the situation, to get them aware of the requirement for the safety, the health requirements, the hygiene requirements which are required, and the preparedness itself to be aware in case something has happened. So far, so good. The 17 cases which we have, they are being treated, and even all contacts have been followed up, and they are being tested, which require quarantined, they have been quarantined. So unlike other African countries, I think for South Africa, we are almost ready. In addition to this, the German government has just given us a donation. It has just given South Africa a donation of £2 million worth of testing kits, which has to be used for testing kits and donation to supplement the efforts which are by the government. Otherwise, the government is 100%, the population is 100%, the health situation is 100% ready for what would happen. As far as the continent is concerned, I think this comes at the back of the other catastrophes which we have had, the Ebola, and then the recent invasion of the locusts. And these have tested us and they tell us how much prepared in terms of infrastructure, in terms of capacity, in terms of resources, how prepared we Africans are on the continent.
I see. Mm-hmm. Most governments,
yes,
what's their name, invest a lot in health care of their people.
Yes.
But that's not definitely the case on the continent.
And that's why I will say this should be a learning moment. This should be a learning moment. The African continent should seriously focus on developing the health infrastructure, the health systems. Africa cannot be sitting and waiting for World Health Organization, Doctors Without Borders, and other organizations to come in when you have a health situation, when you have a health emergency. Why is this a learning moment? It's because, look, this is touching every corner of this earth. We have been spared largely up to this point. But if it was to hit the continent, if it was to come across from the north to west, to south and west to east, what would we do? Because we cannot depend on those aid agencies, because they'll also be stretched beyond their capacity, trying to respond to things happening in Asia and in Latin America and everywhere. This is a learning moment that there comes a time when every nation has to be to take care of its own issues. Now, South Africa's done a good job. Countries like Nigeria and Kenya, they're testing people. Yes, they're making sure they would stop anybody who is positively identified to have coronavirus. But as we've seen, even with the best of the efforts, there is a possibility of infections. Once this infection starts, they can spread. Once they start spreading far and wide across the country, what is the state of the health systems in any of the, in most of these countries? Remember, we're talking about 54 different countries. What is the infrastructure that we have in Tanzania, in Uganda, in Rwanda, in Burundi, in Ethiopia, Congo, in Somalia, in Congo? In here I'm talking about a system that will enable African countries themselves take care of this pandemic, not in situations like what we've seen in Ebola, where, of course, largely there was help from outside. Can we build the capacity so that we can take care of our own issues, we can take care of the health of our own people without sitting and hoping that there will be some foreign agency, some aid agencies that will come in and help?
Suleiman, I think now from what we've seen across the continent, the idea is to stop conferences, international conferences, try to test people coming in. Some other countries, I saw reading today, Uganda has stopped nationals from 9 countries from going there at all, from areas with high rates of the virus. Now this one is going to hit them economically too, because now it hits in the pocket.
Sincerely speaking, they are doing their best, because the best they can do at the moment is containment, is to ensure that the pandemic does not penetrate, because they know should it land, it is going to be a catastrophe. The way we fumbled with Ebola in West Africa, in DR Congo, it is going to be a catastrophe. So they are trying to take emergency measures to see that it is stopped, which is right. But as you are saying, it has got another ripple effect in that it is going to affect their economies. Actually, the question of corona is not only affecting those small countries. The whole continent and the whole world is going to be affected. If you start from here in South Africa, one of our biggest partners is China, trading partners. Another big trading partner is Europe. Already the trade flow in China is already slowing down. Already the trade flow with Europe is drained down. Already the tourism industry is badly hit. Already the stock exchange is badly hit. Already as we talk, the rand has already depreciated by about 1.17%. Before the corona, it was moving around 15 rand to plus to a dollar. Now it is around 16.50 the dollar. So we don't know how far the coronavirus will go. But if it continues at this pace, we in South Africa, which is the second biggest economy, already we are being affected. Imagine all those countries in Africa which have been relying on imports from China, largely. Exports of some raw materials to China, largely. Tourism from Europe and elsewhere. The loans which you have been flowing from China endlessly. So there is a very big problem, unforeseen, which is coming, which is at the doorstep of the African country. I think the biggest question now to ask is that as they close out these tourists and other economic inflows into the economy, are they prepared of what is going to happen thereafter? Do they have any plan? Are they foreseeing anything that is likely to happen? Do they know how much these economies are going to be affected?
Let me re-ID the program and continue that. For those just joining us, you are listening to Reporters Roundtable, and we're coming to you live from VOA Studios here in Washington. Tonight we are discussing the coronavirus pandemic and its impact on Africa. Our panelists are my colleagues, Vincent Macquarie and Suleiman Mugura. And I'm your host, Douglas Impoga, here in Studio 1 in Washington. Vincent, you can give a thought as far as the economic impact of this virus.
You know, the economic impact is going to be far-reaching. You know, Mahula has mentioned a number of things, but you have to look at the reach of this, the effect it has on economies of Africa. For example, millions of Africans are engaged in informal employment, where they sell wares in stores, on the streets and markets, starting from cell phones and accessories and other items. Most of those things are sourced from China. And it has been going on for a while, such that that has been the established source of goods for so many of the Africans who are engaged in this small trade. These traders almost exclusively depend on those goods. Those goods are not coming in. Now, what happens to them? It means they have nothing to sell. They have nothing to sell. They have no income. They have no income. That means they can't pay the school fees for their children. They can't feed their families. So here's the question. We're in the U.S. here, and the president has just announced certain measures, including trying to negotiate with the congressman to find some cushion for employees, for people in all sectors, including tax breaks. Do African countries at the moment have a system in place to help those who are going to lose incomes because of coronavirus, because they cannot engage in any trading, any business, given that China has become almost our economic mainstay at the moment? What happens to those who are no longer going to be having an income already? You know, there are people who are not making any money right now. Okay, what happens to those who are affected in the subsidiary industries of, for example, tourism? When you talk about tourists coming, think of hotels. Think of the people who sell things to tourists and those who sell things, who supply certain items to hotels, including food. You know, whether it is food, chicken, and agricultural produce. When you look at the impact it's going to have economically, it may last a long time. But in the immediate time, in the immediate future, what measures are governments putting in place to help the citizens across the continent who are going to lose their incomes because they cannot do any business on account of coronavirus? That is, for me, a big, big question.
And Suleiman, further to Vincent's point, China for the last several years has been the guy reaching out money to all Africans there. Now, with the economy hit, they tighten the nuts a little bit on their funds, that should also may make matters worse.
And yes, it's going to make the matters worse because, as Vincent has said, and as you are saying, that China is our major supporter. Those loans, they sustain the limited infrastructure programs that are carried in many of these countries. It supplies they sustain the economy. The spillovers from these infrastructure development, because they are the ones which employ people and then the money is pumped into the economy. So with the shrinking of the Chinese economy, then most likely they will reduce the shrinking of the Chinese economy will reduce their ability to give out loans freely like that. And when these countries don't receive loans, many of the infrastructure programs will have to go under stress. When they are under stress, as Vincent has said, there are so many people who are affected, who are involved, the secondary beneficiaries, as they are saying. So you find that there is a lot of suffering in these particular countries. And we are talking about African countries where we've got dictatorial regimes, which already were giving less than 10% to major ministries like health, major programs like health, without giving lots of money to the defense, most of money to the president's office and so on, and state house. So you find that being selfish as they are, one can't see them thinking of any stimulus programs or any assistance programs the way Vincent has said and President of America is preparing. I can't see an African country thinking of a stimulus program or thinking of a social recovery program for the people who have been affected by this. So the continent at the moment is in their trouble, if we are to take it in that sense.
And actually, just quickly, a thought on the whole question of the economic impact, because this is going to be the most, if let's say we are spared the worst of coronavirus as a disease, either way, we are economically going to be impacted seriously. One of the reasons why you really have to feel for so many millions across Africa, those who are engaged in small businesses, small to medium business, are in the short term, because of lack of any business, are going to eat into their capital. Remember, business depends on you having a certain capital, and then you know you do business, you make some profit, you spend some of the profit, and then you reinvest some of the money into your business. Some of those people, once they are forced to kind of use whatever else they had that was supposed to be the capital for their business, they're going to be left with nothing. Even if the situation recovers, even if the coronavirus, goes away, they will not have the capital to reestablish their business. So many of them might be on the path into poverty after having worked for many, many, many years to raise the capitals to start a business. Now, these capitals will be
wiped out,
and they won't have a way to begin. And some of them have families. So here is where I think African countries need to really think, how do we help, as Mohole is saying, have a kind of a stimulus package. Are we thinking about that in advance? Are we talking about it even? That what do we do to so many of our citizens who will have to start all over from zero?
Yes, I see. Many people have little hope in stimulus packages across the continent. But some people have observed that if China's economy falters a little bit, You know, most African countries had run away from World Bank, IMF, and were running for easy loans from China. Now, is it about time for them to begin now lining up at the doors of the IMF World Bank? Suleiman.
The way Richard has said, the effects of the direct effects of corona themselves are less worrying than the economic impact is going to cause. Just before I comment on that one. Because as Vincent has said, what are you going to do with the airlines which you are already struggling? What are you going to do with the tourist industry which was already struggling? What are you going to do with the cargo and freight companies which are likely to collapse? So there are so many sectors which are going to, the Vincent has said, which are going bankrupt. How are the African governments ready to bail out this one, or we are going in for a total collapse of the African economies? It is a very bleak picture which we are having. As far as our loans are concerned, as we have said, at the moment, the impact of Ebola, of Corona, is not only going to be to us, even to the lenders. The World Bank and the IMF, themselves, remember, they have to also be bankrolled by other countries. The countries are highly affected. We don't know. Already the stock exchange is crumbling all over the world. Already the oil prices and other prices, there is an economic catastrophe looming around. Mm. So at the end of the day, it will depend on how far the coronavirus will go.
I see.
If it goes further for some more months, it will be a disaster which we cannot predict which effects will be.
I see. I've said one more minute.
Yes. Now, I think in conclusion, my thoughts are that if African leaders are listening right now, this is a very critical time in the history of the world, and it could be the turning point for African leadership. The continent now is learning that you cannot keep hoping that whenever things go extreme, you will always get some help from outside. Right now, if things get that bad on the continent, there is nobody coming in to help. So why not use this moment? Hopefully, we survive the coronavirus to build our infrastructures, to build our health system and everything else, including the economy, so that we can always have the confidence of being able to deal with any issue, including a health pandemic like the one that we are dealing with right now.
And do you think they are listening?
The problem is maybe this time they'll listen. If somebody gets sick and they can't go abroad and they realize that you have to be at home to
deal
heal,
with your, yes.
Then maybe it will be the moment.
Well, we shall keep our eye there and hopefully things improve. Well, we're out of time, and that wraps up this edition of Reporters Roundtable. Thanks to my colleague, Vincent Makorin, Managing Editor of VOA's Africa 54, and Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst based in Durban, South Africa. Gentlemen, thanks very much for being on the show.
It's been a pleasure.
Our producer tonight was Dan Brown, and our engineer was Nelson Gomez. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder that in case you missed any or part of this program, you can still access it by going to our main website, click on Programs, and scroll down to Reporters Roundtable. Once again, thanks very much for tuning in. I'm your host, Douglas Impuga, wishing you all the best.